We're here, of course, to keep up the fight for a free Palestine and to stop the genocide in Gaza. And the last week, yet again, has demonstrated what we're up against. Probably people have seen the shocking first meeting of Trump's board of billionaires, you know, his so-called board of peace, where all these absolute scumbags from around the world are gathering to discuss the fate of the Gaza Strip. Of course, not a single Palestinian amongst them. And of course, not a single person who cares about peace amongst them. Instead, this was a meeting of people discussing how they can continue the occupation of Gaza, how they can continue the ethnic cleansing of Gaza, and how they can profit from the ethnic cleansing of Gaza. So announced at that meeting was planned to build, for example, a 5,000 troop US military base in the Gaza Strip, plans to have 20,000 soldiers occupy the Strip, and plans to build luxury hotels, you know, on the mass graves, effectively, of the Palestinian people, in which, of course, no Palestinians will be able to live or to afford to live. This is absolutely sick. This is the kind of sick vision of the future that these racist, billionaire, genocidal warmongers have in store for the people of Palestine. And this is why we must keep fighting for a free Palestine. And of course, all of that is going to happen in conjunction with the Israeli military, who of course are part and parcel of all of these plans as well. So that's what we're fighting for, is a free Palestine and against this sick vision. And still, unless I've missed it, to this day, the Albanese government hasn't even said that they won't join this board of billionaires. Like, it's so shocking that they won't even say no to be part of this board of which Donald Trump is the head for life, whether or not he's US president, and whose clear mandate is to, you know, carry out genocide and profit from that. It's absolutely despicable. All right, before we go any further, I'm gonna pass on to our speaker to kick things off, who of course, you know, can bring home the reality of what we're fighting against better than almost anyone, and that is Shamik Badra, who's a Palestinian activist here from Gaza, and who of course has lost, tragically, so many of his family members to this genocide that our government continues to support. Thank you, Shamik.
Free, free Palestine! Free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Gaza!
Free, free Gaza!
Dear friends and comrades, Isaac Herzog's visit wasn't a normal diplomatic event. It was a moral and political test. But this is not about the visit itself. It's about what happened during and after the visit. How protesters were treated, how voices were met, and what that tells us about the state of our democracy. We saw a red carpet thrown out of a man whose name is linked to a genocide in Gaza, and alongside we saw peaceful citizens exercising their democratic rights protests met with batons. And for many of us, this is not abstract political debate. This genocide wasn't distant from me. It was a direct cause of my own tragedy. Herzog came to Australia, a man whose name is tied to a genocide that turned entire neighborhood into ashes. We saw him sign shells that fell on civilians' homes. These shells killed tens of thousands. Among them were my family, my friends, my relatives, and my neighbors. Shame. So, when I hear that he would visit Australia, and knowing what that visit represented, I didn't begin my protest in the street. I began with the law. I went to the government. I asked for a clear accountability. I received no response. Then, when I went to the street to exercise my peaceful right to protest, content we find. People spray use against peaceful protesters. Rushing, restrictions, beating, arrests. Shame. In any democratic society, force should be the last resort, not the first message. When force is used without a clear or immediate threat, it shifts from protection to intimidation. Civilians who pose no dangers were treated as threats. When protesters are managed based on imaginary instead of actual behavior, the democratic balance begins to erode. So we must ask, when did conscience become a security threat? Democracy is not tested by slogans. It is tested by how it treats those who dissent. And in this context, and in these circumstances, racism escalates in our society. Recent statements by Hanson linking Muslim to danger are not just ordinary political opinion. When an entire religion is framed as a threat, when Muslims are presented as security risk, this is collective generalization. This is racism. Comrades and friends, we are not talking about millions of Muslims or tens of millions, not even hundreds of millions. We are talking about around 2 million people, 2 billion people, Muslims around the world. There are some of them scientists, academics, doctors, engineers, writers, artists, thinkers, people who have contributed and still contributed to human progress. To reduce all this diversity, all this history, all this civilization into a threat, the question is, how does she place herself in the position to just 2 billion Muslims? In what knowledge, in what method? This is not serious analysis. It's dangerous simplification. It feeds fear instead of building understanding. It's a test of the state standards. Comrades and friends, we don't want division. We want cohesion. But cohesion can't be built on double standard. Yes. Cohesion requires one law, one standard, equal rights. If the law is used against the weak and ignored for the powerful, that is not justice. Comrades and friends, in these circumstances, when official doors close on Palestinians, we don't lose faith because we know there is something stronger than government, stronger than protocol, stronger than political calculations. There was something stronger. Who is it? You. You are the honest people. You are stronger. You stood with dignity. You were not afraid. You choose justice instead of silence. We rely on the conscience of the people. We trust you. Not because you hold formal power, because you hold courage. Our hope rests upon the power of the people. Because you stood on the right side of the history. We believe this path will not fail. They tried to make the Herzog visit silent. But people responded from Sydney to Melbourne, to Perth, to Canberra, to Newcastle, to Wollongong, to Wagga Wagga. Stop injustice, arrest Herzog. As a Palestinian from Gaza, I am deeply proud to have friends like you standing for justice, proud of your courage, proud of your strength, proud that you didn't allow fear to silence you. You didn't march for hatred. You marched for justice. You marched for dignity. Respect to those who stood on the front lines. Respect to Palestinian Action Group. Respect to everyone who organized, endured, and didn't step back. To the people are stronger, not only because we are many, but because we stand for justice. We are thousands, we are millions, we are all Palestinians! Comrades and friends, no one is above the law. Herzog Herzog has left Australia. He left surrounded by protocol, but he left knowing that people, don't forget, a red carpet cannot erase accusation of inciting genocide. It doesn't erase the blood of children in Gaza. Justice may be delayed, but impunity doesn't last forever. Some airport may open for some today, but history doesn't grant immunity. Gaza will remain strong. Palestine will remain alive. Gaza, Gaza, don't cry.
Gaza, Gaza, don't cry.
Palestine will never die.
So our last speaker today is the wonderful Marie Farouki, the Green Senator. Make her feel welcome.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Ramadan Mubarak, Ramadan Kareem. Always was, always will be. We truly do live in an upside down world where police is allowed to punch, to pepper spray, to push, to assault, and to attack peaceful protesters standing up for justice, standing up against the genocide, while the Prime Minister of this country and the Premier of the state offer warm handshakes, a red carpet to a war criminal and someone who has incited a genocide. The absolute violence and brutality that police unleashed on elderly people, on women, on Muslims praying, on literally everyone that was in their sight was abhorrent. It was abhorrent, it's completely unacceptable and completely unjustified. I can tell you, as a Muslim, that this Ramadan, again, is going to be a very difficult one. Israel's genocide in Gaza is ongoing. The apartheid, the oppression, the expansion of illegal settlements, and the starvation and killing of children is ongoing. And in this country, the escalation of Islamophobia, of anti-Muslim hate, without much response from the Prime Minister, has made life extremely difficult for us. I mean, the Prime Minister can't even bring himself to use the word racism when it comes to One Nation. He could not bring himself to say that One Nation is a racist, hateful party.
Right-wing Zion, I mean, hate.
Has he forgotten that the leader of this party, the federal court of this country, found to have engaged in racist behavior? How much more proof do you actually need? If the way Muslims are being treated in this country at the moment, if any other religious group got that treatment, all hell would break loose. That is the honest truth. So it is incumbent upon us, it is our responsibility to call out these double standards and this hypocrisy. Because Muslims in this country deserve to be treated with dignity and respect. We don't deserve to be treated as targets of hate or as punching bags for politicians and their horrific political needs. So let's make sure, if these very basic human rights are not being afforded to us, then we demand them and we claim them. And I have heard from many of my Muslim brothers and sisters over the last couple of weeks, many of them are scared. We are fearful, but we are also defiant. So let's make sure that we take that defiance onto the streets today and every day after this. Let's make sure that we are never silenced. And let's make sure that Palestine will be free. From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. Thank you so much, everyone.